Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'd like to welcome each and all of you to today's worship service and pray God's blessing upon us as we worship in true and in the spirit. It's always a good thing when we gather out of our busy schedules throughout the week, especially during the summer, different activities. We can come and just spend at least maybe an hour or so together praising the Lord for another day. It's a blessing. No matter what your journeys have been and continue to be, the good news is we are still here and we can be thankful to God for that. To those of you who are visiting with us for the first time, I'd like to encourage you to please help us maybe fill out this. It's a yellow or gold. I think you have half of these. This helps us to keep in touch. It's nothing that we will do with your information, but just to say thank you for coming and just get to know our guests. That's about all. We have announcements both on the screens as well as in the bulletins, inserts in your bulletins. Please take note of those announcements. I'm just going to lift, emphasize a little bit of maybe a couple of those. We will be celebrating the birthday today. Amen. What a blessing. Who would you sing happy birthday to Chuck this morning? We will do that. But I think we will do that at the table when we get to the back and for fellowship time. Another thing that I like, announcement I'd like to draw your attention to is the upcoming Jabez School. Jabez School has its 6th anniversary, graduation anniversary. Jabez School is in Liberia. It's one of our mission-supported projects. So we will be celebrating that in Madison on the 17th of this month. That will be Saturday from noon to 3. We are all invited to be a part of, to hear some of the stories of what your offerings and donations have accomplished in that part of the our world. I'm going to also like to invite after service today, at least just for 10 or 15 minutes or less. Those of us who have been a part of the Form Fest, our annual outreach program that we have here, an event that we have outside of the building, but right in the yard, I would like us to just meet in the Reeves room right after service and after we celebrated Chuck's 90th birthday. Can just gather there and just discuss how are we going to be doing this year. And finally, not the least, I'd like to welcome and introduce to the congregation our newly employed person for one of the key ministries of our congregation here, Families Education and Nurture Ministry. I mentioned that before, last Sunday, that we've already found someone who was willing to take that position. And I guess the person is here, and I'm sure the person is is here with her family. So in a special word on behalf of this congregation, I'd like to introduce to you and welcome Reverend Jennifer White and her family. Reverend, you want to come out here? Yes, come out here. Let me welcome you in a special word here. Thank you. Why don't you come over here, please? It was an interesting event for us when we started looking for someone for this position. It was like it took us almost a year. We started October last year. We received lots of applications from all over, you know. And then we got to a point and said, you know, why they said that we need to, how about we just put this down a little bit, slow down on it, and see if we can get our act together. Because we had two people that have occupied this position and they were not able to continue. So we started studying why. And we decided that until we can figure out what it is that this person is going to be doing, we're not going to just employ someone for employment's sake. So we undertook 6 or 7 months discernment process just to make sure that we had what we have today here as the mission and the vision and mission of our church, which I guess I'm just assuming, no matter what, somebody should be able to remember these three things. Our mission is to inspire all to live faithfully through Jesus Christ. Who can remember that? That's our mission. Now, how do we do that? That's our vision. How do we do that? Well, we gather, we equip, and we serve. So we say, okay, when this person comes, this is what we will be presenting. And so we've had enough time with Jennifer, and she said, yeah, I can work with that. Now, Jennifer is not coming as an answer to all our problems here. She's not coming to fill these pews. She's coming to work along with us. And I just wanted to introduce her to you that she's here to work with us, and we are glad to have her here this morning. Thank you. With that, how about we turn to the person next to us, as you should, and just say, Jesus loves you, so do I. Life has two sides. There's always a joyful part, and there's sometimes a painful part. Having had the privilege of the joy of having Jennifer to join us here, which is for me is a real great joy for us. I'm also saddened this morning to give you a bad news. Because we are human, it's bad. But for God, sometimes it's a good thing. You've been hearing about Lori Lewis. She's been very ill, very, very ill. Been unresponsive for quite a while now, more than 3 weeks she's been. And this morning we were at a Bible study. The daughter called me to let me know that
lorry pass this morning, and at 3 a.m. So that's just, I wanted to let you know about that. We can have a moment of silent prayer for her and her family. Lorry was very, very involved here, especially with our praise team, and I know that is a blow to us, especially being a small member congregation. It's very, very painful to say that, but that's the other side of life. There's nothing enough for us can do about it. Let's have a moment of silent prayer. With that, let's take a moment to center ourselves for worship. If you will join me in the centering prayer. Almighty God, as we hear and ponder your word, through the scripture lessons, music, and fellowship, release your Holy Spirit so that we might be molded and made after the likeness of Christ. Form us with a desire to follow your will. Create within us the cooperation to wait and to surrender ourselves to the shaping of your transforming spirit. Grant this for the glory and honor of your name. If you are able to feel comfortable, will you please rise for the call to worship? Being prepared. The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples with a word he awakens me morning by morning. The Lord God has opened my ears and my eyes. Equip us in every good thing to do your will, Lord God. Work in us that which is pleasing in your sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. May you remain standing for our opening hymn, We Are Called.
Come live in the light. In fear, to be hope for the hopeless, so hatred and blindness will be no more. We are called to God with justice. We are called to love tenderly. We are called to serve one another. To walk humbly with God. Sing of thy brethren when all will be one. God will reign and we will with each other assist. Be I called to our justice. We are called to serve one another, to walk on with God.
You may be seated, please. Let us pray this prayer together. Holy and eternal God, you invite and make us willing to join with you on your sacred and life-saving mission in this world. As fallen and weak creatures, we humbly confess our inability to undertake, let alone to successfully complete this sacred mission without being equipped and guided by your Spirit. As you have faithfully promised, grant that your Holy Spirit indwells and walks with us every step along the way. Fill our hearts with your word so that our lives might be filled and grounded in words and deeds that truly reflect your life and will through us. Grant this, gracious God, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Familiar.
Yeah. So, how are you guys doing? Good.
Good. Let's see what Jim has for us for video this morning. We will talk a little bit about it.
Stories of the Bible. Jesus calls Peter. This is Jesus.
Heyo!
Who is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Jesus grew up in Nazareth.
Hey, Jesus.
And was baptized by John in the Jordan River. Jesus began teaching about God's love and healing people of their sickness. One day, John saw Jesus walking by and told the people around him that Jesus was the Lamb of God. One of the people standing with him was Andrew, whose brother was Simon, who would later be known as Peter. Andrew went to find his brother and said, We have found the Christ.
Whoa, Ray, come on.
Simon went with Andrew and met Jesus.
Uh-huh, I'm from Earth.
Jesus looked at Simon and said, "Your name is Simon, son of John."
Yes, it is.
"But you will be called Peter."
Okay.
On another day, Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and lots of people crowded around him to hear what he had to say.
Hello. Okay.
Jesus noticed two empty boats, for Andrew and Peter had left them and were washing their nets. Jesus stepped into one of the boats,
hey, Peter,
and asked Peter to take him out into the sea.
Okay.
So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Peter, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." But Peter said, "We worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear.
Whoa!
They called to some other fishermen for help.
Hey, help!
And soon both boats were filled with fish. When Peter realized what happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." Jesus replied to Peter, "Don't be afraid. Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people."
Really?
Really?
And as soon as they landed, they left their nets and followed Jesus. So Simon Peter became one of Jesus' 12 disciples and followed his friend Jesus throughout his time on earth.
Whose hand was upraised, let me hear what you have to say.
I heard that Jesus called Simon Peter.
Yeah, there you go. Anything else, Jesus?
I heard that Jesus called Simon Peter, and then Jesus told Peter to find.
Okay. Well, thank you. You know that Jesus is, who do we know Jesus to be?
Son of God.
Son of God. Good. So he sees these two fisher men and says to them, "Come and follow me and I will make you what? To fish for what? To fish for what?
Fish.
Okay.
People.
That's right. So you see, that's what God can do. God can use whatever you and myself. What do you like to do? What do you really like to do? You like to read the Bible?
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. So, just what do you like to do?
Read the Bible too.
You like to read the Bible. Well, you guys are good. See, so God can actually use your skill in reading the Bible to bring other people. You can talk to your friends about what you read in the Bible, just as Peter is going to be, Peter and the other disciples, the other people are going to be using their skills of fishing to kind of, you know, bring people to Christ. You guys can do the same thing. Is that true? Can you tell anybody, any of your friends about who Jesus is? Yeah. I'm glad you read the Bible. Thank you, dear God, for our time together with these children. We pray for each of them in a special way, and for all children, Lord, that you will continue to reach out to them and that you can reassure them that they have a place, that no matter what it is that they do, even at the playground, home, they can also be witnesses to your love for their friends. We thank you. In Christ's name we pray. you for coming.
I have no words. No words. We had prepared something else, but in true praise team fashion, we're going to change things up a little today. Maybe. This was Lori's favorite song, and she's not in any pain anymore. That's fantastic. But I am going to miss that woman. I'm going to miss her voice. I got to stop standing up in front of church with tears in my eyes. It's been 2 weeks in a row now. Well, Lori, honey, this one's for you. Fly, baby.
Shadow to never have sunlight on your face. You were content to let me shine, that's your way. You always walked a step behind, so I was the one with all the glory, while you were the one with all the strength. A beautiful face without a name for so long, a beautiful smile to hide the pain. Did you ever know that you're my hero? And everything I wish I could be. And I can fly higher than an eagle, 'cause you are the wind beneath my wings. Have appeared to go unnoticed, but I've got it all here in my heart. I want you to know I know the truth. Of course I know it. I would be nothing without you. Did you ever know that you're my hero? And everything I wish I could be. And I can fly higher than an eagle, 'cause you are the wind beneath my wings. Fly, fly, fly.
friend.
The New Testament reading is Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Almighty God.
Much better? Oh, there you go. Yeah. I know that we were supposed to have recognized Jennifer's family. Probably, can you just do that for us and just introduce who are members of your family here before we move on? Because we're not just having you here, we know your family is going to be with us too. So. Okay. Okay. Good. Okay. Okay. Amen. 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 I thought that was important because we work as a family, so we're not just welcoming Jennifer, we also welcome her family. So, yeah. Thank you. With that, let's take a look at this gospel lesson this morning and see how it will relate us to what we'll be talking about, equipping the believers for the work of discipleship. As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is also called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting the net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, sons of Zebedee, and his brother John in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Again, immediately, they left the boat and their father and follow Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Allow the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts that be acceptable in your sight, O God, our Redeemer and our Savior and friend. Equipped for the work of discipleship. I want to start this message with maybe a couple of questions, of a little more than that. And what I want to do is to find out if you will help me, because you know that's what I like to do. I like to be interactive when it comes to something like this. I want you to help me understand Packers. The Packers just had their first victory this season. So, and then we also have in the air. It's been like that all along with our politicians, leaders. We always say, we want to have the best military. The best military. I hear President Trump says that a lot. We're going to have the best military in the world. And nobody can mess with us. And then I also see that there are people. This is something that I don't, I'm not one of those who love heights. I don't like that. When I take my grandkids, or even when I took my kids to places, and they are on these high rise stuff, and you know, swing all going around. And I remember my daughter one time invited me and said, we went over to Wisconsin Dells, and they were on that thing, and it just went up, and then went up and down. He said, you need to join us. I said, no, not now. I'm going to just take the photos. So I said, I can't do that. I'm here. That's enough. I don't have to sit with you on that thing to go all the way up and come down. And then we hear about people going to the moon. I want you to help me. What all of these things that I've just talked about have in common when it comes to our faith? You have to prepare. You need stuff, okay? Ambition. All right. Yeah. It's very ambitious to say I'm going to the moon, right? Yes, it is. And I don't know. I don't know how one develops that thought, but never imagine anybody going to the moon. You know, when I'm 40 feet high, not 40 feet, but 400 plus or 40,000 miles up in the air, I get nervous. How much more about going to the moon? I never thought about that. But that's a huge, that's been ambitious. So how does that relate to our own faith? Faith is based on evidence. Okay? What would it take to have this evidence? Let's use your word for that. What would it take to have that evidence? Yes? Thank you. I want you to know that's a retired professor of theology talking there. He's way above my level here. So I just want to admit that. And I admire that. Thank you. But in my own, I wouldn't say layman because I'm not a lay person. According to the standard of our church, I'm not a lay person. But from my lay understanding, it takes being equipped. It takes being equipped. You don't have to go too far to find out what it means to be equipped and what it means not to be equipped. Whatever it is whatever ambition, whatever you endeavor to do and to do successfully, it will have to take being equipped for that, being prepared. If you are not, anything that is properly done is not done. And that holds true for our faith. That holds true for our work and our calling to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Jesus thought of that, and he knew that what it would take in order to get the work that he started, continued into the world, even when he was long gone into heaven. That people that I call by his name, that profess him, Lord and Savior, would need to be equipped. Why? But he made it clear to a group of his disciples when he sent them out and said to them, I'm sending you as what? Sheep among wolves. I'm sending you as sheep among wolves. And you know what that means. If you were to send a group of sheep as powerless as they are among hungry wolves, what's going to happen? We preyed on those sheep. Not only that, but Paul also helps me to understand in the very epistles of which part was read, a portion of chapter 4 was read from 11 to 16, that in chapter 6, verse 12, he says that the life of faith, being a Christian, is like a going to the battlefront. We are at war. And interestingly, this war is not against flesh and blood. You don't need guns, you know, you don't need missiles, you don't need AK-47, whatever rifle you need to fight that. It's a spiritual warfare, and because it is a spiritual warfare, it needs what? Spiritual equipment in order to fight it. And so Jesus, again, going back to Jesus, you know that this particular chapter of Matthew, chapter 4, is one of those chapters that I love to read, especially from the first, the previous verses, going down through where he came to, in fact, begin to recruit for his ministry, for his public ministry. Where was he? He was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And what was he doing there? This is how I understand what wilderness is about from the perspective of what Jesus was doing in that place. Jesus was getting ready for the task ahead. And so being in wilderness is not like it's the worst place to be. Sometimes when we are in the wilderness, we have the opportunity to begin to regather our strength for what lies ahead. And so Jesus was gathering that, having that time. I know that scripture tells us that the devil took him into the wilderness. And while he was in that wilderness, kind of tempted him all around. And it was within that context of the wilderness experience that Jesus developed how to counter the trials, the temptations that lie ahead. How did he do that? It's interesting to know that research after another, especially about contemporary Christian discipleship, have shown how much the church Christians have drifted when it comes to the knowledge of the scripture. We forget to know that in that wilderness experience, Jesus was kind of teaching even you and myself, if we were to look at that experience very carefully. He was teaching, it was a teaching moment for him, so that in that wilderness, he did actually three things that we can see, and those three things are going to follow him, and he's going to teach it to his disciples, and the disciples in themselves will also teach it to their own people, and their own people too will have to teach it to those of us who are here today, and we need to make use of those. Because without those three things that helped Jesus out of the wilderness experience, none of us will make it in our own Christian life. And what are those three things? The first thing was an experience of prayer. I know Jesus prayed a lot. Jesus prayed a lot. He prayed in both private, he prayed in the public, he prayed for guidance, he prayed when the circumstances seemed to be tough, he prayed to his Father. I'm sure he was setting us an example that indeed, this is the way, this is the tool to use, that you and I can use in on our own Christian journey. He laid it down and led it to his disciples. The disciples pray in the midst of their trials, they pray. Even when Christ had given up his last breath with prayer and said, Lord, my God, forgive them for they know not what they do, the disciples picked that up and ran with it. They talked to Jesus, they saw the importance of prayer in his life, and they asked him and said, we want you to help us, to help teach us pray. Teach us to pray. And that's the prayer you and myself pray almost at every worship service. And so prayer is one of the ways that we can equip ourselves against Satan's war, the demon's war against us, against the Word of God. I guess the next thing that Jesus also taught his first disciples, and the first disciples also passed unto us, is exactly what Paul referred to here in his epistle of Ephesians when he says, we should clothe ourselves with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. My friend, I don't know how one can be a Christian if you don't believe in the very Word of God. If you don't believe in the Word of the very God that you profess to know. How do you make it? How do you, again, research after another have shown that in contemporary Christianity, there has been a drift, continuous drift from the knowledge of the Word of God. Even within, especially within the Christian circle, 15 years ago, according to the research by the Bernard Group, Bernard Group is a private organization that does research on religious practices, especially Christianity. They come up to say that over the last 15 years, especially in this country, 81% of the people here are Christians. How many of them really believe, have a worldview of what it means to be a Christian? Less than 43%.
have some good news. After several months of being seriously ill in the hospital and in rehab, Jean Bragg came home yesterday. And she's doing very well. She's very tired, but she's home, and it's good news.
We're all worried about you, Scott.
I hope the rest of you were as moved by the sermon this morning as I was. Something struck me as particularly important, and that is, he asked, what is a Christian? And so many Christians don't even know what that is. And here's what I think a Christian is. It's someone who has made a commitment to follow the teaching and example of Jesus Christ, even when it's difficult. And I know most of us sitting here, at some point in our lives, made a commitment to follow the teaching and example of Jesus Christ. But it's hard to maintain that level of commitment and enthusiasm. And I think, you know, what Pastor Jakes is trying to help us do is renew that enthusiasm we all felt at some time in our relationship with Christ. So I want to pray that we keep doing that.